Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
And this is the Annie Fry Show. This is Chris Sarps sitting in for Annie today. She's a little under the weather, but she will be back tomorrow in studio with me, my lovely wife, Becky, Ryan Wiggins on the, that's not the Wheels of Steel. That's the, what do we call that?
I would say this is the other chair.
I like that. It's so technical. Love that. And Frank Ladd on the, technically, is on the Wheels of Steel. We're going to have in later in the show 97.1's favorite liberal, those that listen to Mark Cox Show or the Weekend Report or
Dave Glover.
Dave Glover.
He comes on the think tank, too.
I think Dave even butchers his audience with Keith Antone. But, you know, some of the things that we've been talking about regarding the black vote and why is it going towards Trump, 30% of it. I'd love for you to ask those questions to Mr. Antone, because like I said, I would love to see if he has received his talking points from the DNC and how will he respond.
Well, let me ask. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, you did give him time between when you asked to be on the show and when he's going to be on.
Exactly. So they can email and fax him over.
As a person who is knee deep at all times, I should say neck deep in politics.
Knee deep is probably a good answer.
When you when you see polls like this that say, three of them now, mm-hmm. we've been talking about the whole show, that that say that the black support for Trump is in the 30s, sometimes even in the mid-30s. So, but that's a huge jump.
Huge.
Does that number mean, though, does that translate to votes for Trump? Or is that just people finally saying, you know what, I'm actually okay with what he's doing?
Well, no, next November.
Oh, thank you. You really are. You really.
What do
you
think of that?
Just run for office.
What do you think of that? Brilliant, wasn't it? We'll know next November. No, I mean, if I could tell you that, I would not be on 97.1. I'd be on Meet the Press on Sundays, and this week.
But I mean, historically, you'd have to look at support as something that does mostly translate into votes, but maybe not always.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, if we're seeing that the black support for Trump right now is at, we'll say 33%, just to be fair, does that mean that we'll see 28% voting for Trump, or is there a greater disparity in the number?
What I would have to say is right now it's December 2019.
Sure.
And the election is about a year away. And I'm not trying to downgrade what you're saying. What I'm saying, that's an eternity in politics.
Yeah.
And so we never know what could happen. Some allegation could come out, something that could make him look like he was a racist or something. Who knows? But at this point, to go from 12% of the actual vote, which is what President George W. Bush received in his first election, was 12%. And for Trump to surpass that, I mean, I think it's incredible.
At this point, I can't imagine something coming out about Trump that people are going to go, oh, that's the thing that finally did it for me. I mean, anything that can be thrown at him has been thrown at him. Now, and even, I was going to say, maybe an Access Hollywood type tape that had something to do with racism might do that.
Right.
But I don't even know if that would do it at this point.
Well, Mark Cuban, the billionaire Shark Tank star, Dallas Mavericks basketball team owner. Mm-hmm. He was on Maria Bartiromo, I think, over the weekend or yesterday. And he had some thoughts on Joe Biden. Most people think that Joe Biden is kind of flummoxing and is failing. But according to Mark, he doesn't think so.
You know, this is a battle of ideas. This is a battle for the soul of America. You know, we are so divided. We are no longer the United States of America. You know, this is about who can reunite the United States so that we don't have to go to Thanksgiving dinner and be, you know, be wary of what we're talking about. So we don't have to, like, question, all right, you know, what do I say to somebody? Can we even discuss politics? You know, that's the hard part. You know, we're going into this a year from now having a big election. And
you know, that's not the clip that I wanted to play. I apologize.
It's still an interesting clip.
It is. This is the one I wanted to play.
But you don't think Elizabeth Warren will ultimately be the nominee, do you?
No. All things right now, if I had to place a bet, I'd bet on Joe Biden. And I think he'd do the best job.
What about his performance recently? A lot of people saying maybe he's lost that oomph.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. Look, I mean, at his age, even Donald Trump at near the same age, if you put them in a situation where, you know, they're in a competitive debate environment, they're not going to be as strong. But you put him in a situation where he's making a presentation, he controls the presentation, where he's governing, right? Because that's what really matters. Who's going to be the best president? I think he'd be great.
Well, he's drank the Kool-Aid, hasn't he?
Well, I would have to agree with some points he's making, because I still think Joe Biden is the front runner, right. and that may make me crazy. I know Pete Buttigieg is leading in most of the major polls that matter right now, but he, just like Elizabeth Warren, is going to be a flash in the pan. You know, we saw Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum win Iowa, and what happened to them? Well, they had careers, but not in politics.
Hey, you need to be careful with that. You know why?
Are you friends with one of those guys?
My wife worked on the Rick Santorum presidential campaign.
Well, what's Rick Santorum doing now, Becky Arps?
He is on CNN.
Exactly. They're not in politics anymore. And so I think even if you see Pete Buttigieg take Iowa, which he very well could, but you see these guys kind of peak and valley, and Pete Buttigieg is up right now. Elizabeth Warren was the flavor of the month last month. I still think Biden, not because he's a good candidate, but because all the rest of these people, they're just there.
Yeah.
They don't have lasting power. He's the only one with the sort of resume and the name recognition to make it. I still think he's the front runner.
Well, speaking of Iowa and bus tours, Joe Biden is barnstorming across Iowa with his quote unquote no malarkey tour, trying to gain some ground in the state. Now, Ryan, I think you are an amateur kind of political prognosticator.
You've been amateur, eh?
Amateur, very amateur.
Well, thank you.
But it's, you know, I want to get your opinion on Joe Biden's comment. Just tell me just how profound is this?
Okay. This isn't corn pop, is it?
No, this is not corn pop. Joe says, quote, "I'm running to win. I'm not running to lose. I'm not running to come in third or fourth and fifth or anything like that, so I feel good about it." Is that?
It's deep. Well, you mentioned his bus tour. He's the political insiders that I've been reading are saying, yeah, he's out there, he's active, but he's the Democratic side. They call it old man active, as in he's doing kind of the bare minimum that you need to do to look like you're trying hard. But he's 77 years old. By the end of his first term, you know, he's going to be over 80.
Yeah.
And we see, and I don't know if it's age or it's just Joe Biden, but we see the gaffes that he's constantly making. It's like he can't get two sentences out.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, even though I think he's the front runner, I can't imagine
he's not qualified with that,
a
though.
Debate with him versus Trump.
I think it's going to be ugly.
You're overlooking a huge part of the story there.
Go ahead.
Joe Biden has had a stutter for his entire life.
Sure. And that's why I'm saying, is it Joe Biden or is it age? It's probably Joe Biden.
Corn Pop did it.
It's a stutter.
Yeah.
And for somebody that has that, it is difficult to sometimes get words out.
Sure.
It is difficult to sometimes get the correct words out. You turn to softer words, easier words to say.
Absolutely.
So, and it is something that I think, there's a fascinating piece on him that just came out last week about the stutter, that I think when people read that, they'll be like, oh, well, that hesitation there makes sense.
But what about
that pause there makes sense, because it's not an age thing. It's it's his whole life.
But what about when you have, if Joe Biden becomes the nominee and you have these guys at WashU here in a nationally televised debate? I mean, are people going to be looking at, do you think, well, he's got this problem, but I really know what he means? Or are people going to be contrasting, here's Donald Trump, a strong, confident-looking leader.
Here's the problem.
And here's Joe Biden looking like
debates
he's
are a waste of time. Because you and I both know none of that happens in politics in the everyday situations. You guys have been in this forever. You know that there's no real debate going on.
It's the impression that you make. You remember the first debate?
We would be better off with real live conversations with these people than we would be with them trying to come up with the right answer to zing the other guy.
It's completely superficial. I get that. But you remember when you had the first Nixon-Kennedy debate, the people that listened to the debate thought Nixon won, but the people that actually watched the debate thought Kennedy won.
Right,
and people weren't really focusing on what they were
because
saying.
Because Nixon turned down makeup and he was sweaty. And this is true.
Right, I agree
with
that.
So that's, like you said, it's superficial.
But don't you think it's superficial if you, even if Joe Biden has a problem with stuttering and all that, but if he's looking like he's incompetent or not sure of himself, it's superficial and that may not benefit him in the long run.
Certainly, that's what I'm saying.
I think you're
superficial.
I think you're explaining sort of our side, though, saying that those things are superficial and he doesn't compete on a superficial level very well.
Right.
And so, and I also think that when you look back to his debates in 2008 as vice president, he was doing better than he is now. So I do think there is something to be said that it maybe is a little bit worse now than it was.
And it's
I
so
think
easily
there's more media coverage 11 years later than there was 2008.
That's probably true.
You have more people looking at, oop, this is a gaffe, this is a gaffe, this is a gaffe than you did 11 years ago. So I think that changes the perception.
And there are
certainly
more debates happening. There's one every month for him to be out there, you know, kind of not making his case well for being a great orator.
And I think we've all looked at it like you've said before about how silly it is to have all these debates and how people get in the debates and the rules of them. Okay, sure, you've got 30 seconds to make a case on national health care.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can do that.
Yeah, with
nobody
12
can make a case in the amount of time given these people. So I think we are at a disservice with these structured tiny little speeches that are 30 seconds, 45 minutes, or 45 seconds in length, and then you got to come up with a response to a zinger from her.
So now
that's a waste.
So now
a waste
it comes down
time.
To superficiality and who looks competent and who looks like what they're talking about. Regardless of that, I mean, I'm not exactly happy about it, but I mean, we are a visual, who looks strong culture now. People aren't listening to what you're standing for. Go ahead, Becky.
Now, on the flip side, you could look at those zingers as teasers. Oh, well, they said this. Well, let me go look at their webpage to learn more about them because I thought that was interesting what they said there.
So you are the 0.1% of the 1% that actually looks.
I already was the point one of the point one,
right?
And I'll say that because I think we end up with the electorate that we deserve based on our interaction. One of the things we were talking this weekend about politics, we just have a disengaged electorate, and so with a disengaged electorate, we're not going to have people that are going to. Because we don't have the people that are looking, and that's why we end up with so many political commercials, because people aren't going and looking at web pages.
I think it's fair, though, in some cases to say we get more information out of those political commercials than we do out of some of the comments and some of the debates.
Possibly.
I agree with
possibly.
That.
Because those are at least vetted.
Yep. They're very closely scripted and have a particular bend to each of them.
Yep.
Well, the field is narrowing, so maybe December 19th.
It's narrowed. We gained two last week, but we lost two.
It's down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and maybe 8 who could be on the next stage.
We'll talk about that when
That's narrowed.
We'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Chris Arp sitting in. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. That is a classic right there from The Spinners. That's called Sadie. And Tupac did a remake of that. So, Mama. I know you know that, Riggins. You have that in your collection, don't you?
I know barely even the words that you're saying. I you know, Tupac was even in my generation, and I don't know much about Tupac. I like a couple of the songs.
Like, which ones? I'm going to put you on the spot. Which ones?
Like California Knows How to Party, whatever that one's called.
Yeah, that was crossover. Okay. Which other one?
I would say just that one, because I can't think of another one.
Oh, I love your honesty. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. In studio with me, my lovely wife, Becky, Ryan Wiggins, the man there that knows nothing about Tupac, and Frank Ladd on the Wheels of Steel. As promised, we have 97 ones. Favorite liberal, Keith Antone. Keith, how are you?
I'm doing fine. First, let me say hi to Ryan and Becky and Frank and yourself. I'm a little under the weather. I've been suffering from a bad case of PTSD, President Trump's stress disorder. And, you know, and I've had it for almost 2.5 years. And I think the only cure is impeachment or prison, whichever comes first. But other than that, I'm glad you asked, Chris. How you doing?
Well, yeah, good. Right, I'm doing great. And that was a great segue. As 97.1's resident liberal, I want to ask you, is your party, is the House Democrats, going to go ahead and impeach the president? A few weeks ago, it looked like it was a foregone conclusion, but now with impeachment not doing so well in polling, and the potential that the 5 or 6 presidential candidates who are senators will be in impeachment hearings instead of impeachment proceedings instead of on the campaign trail, may make Nancy change her mind. What are your thoughts, Mr. Antone?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked. I think what's going to have to happen is the fact that it's almost like jumping off the cliff and then halfway down you start thinking, hey, this might not have been the smartest idea, the smartest thing I could do. Let me stop. But you've gone too far. I think they're over the cliff now. I think that they're going to have to do it in order to save face for a few of the faithful. And so now, but I'll stick to this. The only way I think that we're going to get this clown in chief out of office is to vote him out in 2020. I don't think, you know, it's not, we all know you need, 66 votes in the Senate in order to impeach him and remove him. So I really think this is just a process that they've got to go through to save face. And it'll get nowhere once it gets over on the Senate side.
Hey, Keith, this is just between me and you. No one else is listening.
Clearly.
But do you think, has your party made the case for impeachment? And be honest.
You know me. I have to be honest. And I don't really think so. I really don't think so that they've made the case. But I do think that he's done some things that needs to come, you know, that needs to come to the light. What you do in the dark has to come to light. So I do think that there's some things that he needs to be, as I said before on the Mark Cox Show, that he needs to be slapped on the hand. But I don't think that they've made the case to the American people, according to some of the recent poll data.
But isn't that what campaign ads are for? For the things that you want of your opponent to come to light, not impeachment hearings?
Well, yeah, I would say so, Becky, but at the end of the day, the Democrats are so excited about, you know, having control of the House, and that they're doing this because they can, and I don't think it's been overwhelming with the American people that this is the way to do it. I think that we're spending way too much time on this impeachment process when we need to be figuring out a way to beat him in the streets and beat him at the polls in 2020. That's where our energy should be put forward.
All right. Speaking of which, Keith, this is Wiggins, of course. Okay. We've been talking about some polls today that I don't know if you've been looking at them or not, or if you've been trying to avert your eyes.
He's been listening to the show.
But
I've been listening to the show for the last hour and a half.
Well, the three polls that we're referring to, Rasmussen, Emerson, and of all places, NPR, show that black support for Trump is in the 30s. Which is about double what it has been for most of his tenure so far. Why is it jumping up so much now?
Well, because the Arps family had Thanksgiving last weekend. Between
that
the
wasn't
Arps
in your talking points. They faxed over to you.
Between the Arps friends and family. No, I think that you're going to get and Wiggs. I think you kind of said it earlier. I don't think that that's going to translate in the votes. And Chris said, alluded to it as well, that it's a whole eternity. I mean, we've got a whole year. Anything can happen. I don't think that that's going to translate into votes. I think the actual numbers from the 2016 election, Trump actually got only, I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, I think he only got 3% that actually voted for him.
Trump got 12% of the black vote, which equaled George W. Bush's total in his first election.
Okay, 12%.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's going to be much more than that. And listen, just like any other group, the African-American community is not a monolithic people. Look at Chris, look at I. We're both on two sides of the fence, but we respect each other's opinions, and we believe in the party that we're supporting, and we don't both, you know, sing from the same political party hymnal. And so I think you're going to have some support, and you're going to have some people. And as I said earlier, you know, the Arps family over the Thanksgiving holiday got together and participated in the poll.
Well, okay, but do you think, even polls aside, that there is a shift going on culturally that now it might be okay to vote Republican if you're African American, whereas in the past that was viewed as more of a stigma?
Well, you know what? Let me say this, and I said this, and I don't know if I shared this with Chris. I'm an avid golfer, and I was participating in a charity golf tournament a couple of years ago when President Trump, when he first got elected, and I was sitting at a table with about seven or eight other African-American gentlemen who were businessmen. And out of the eight, I'm not kidding you, only three of us were, like, I would say not anti-Trump, but six of the eight were all like, we supported and we voted for him.
Wow.
I couldn't believe that. And so it kind of blew my mind. So I think he's got a lot more support than what people will say. I think the same with in the white community. A lot of people who are supporting him and going to that into the voting booth who support him and like his policy, and you know, they're not as vocal and as maybe a Chris Arp or 90% of the personalities on 97.1 are for Trump. but the reality is, I think he does have wigs. I think he does have more support from African Americans than they care to admit.
Keith, on Meet the Press a couple weeks ago, they had a segment called Data Download, and I want to get your thoughts on this. And I have my thoughts, but I want to get yours. It showed that 57% of African American Democrats identify themselves as conservative to moderate. Why are African Americans voting against their interests?
Well, I don't think it's their interest. I do think though, Chris, as you said, the ACs of the world and who are going to some of us. You know, I just turned 59 a week ago today.
Happy birthday!
And to some of us, thank you. To some of us, a little, you know, really, really far to the left, I believe. And they're taking the party and they're a little more extreme. I mean, you know, I like to get health care for all, yeah, but and you know, free college, and you know, I got a son at Mizzou right now. I love to get some free college. Okay,
but, I hear you.
But how do we pay for those things? Or where are you getting a lot of people who are like myself, entrepreneurs and people who are a little more to the center? And so, yeah, I'm not surprised at any of the data. I am not surprised at anything. Hey, 2016 when Trump was elected president, I stopped getting surprised when that happened of anything that could go on. If it can happen, it will happen.
Keith, what would you say if I say, I think the reason why 57% of African-Americans who describe themselves as Democrats are voting against their interests is because the Republican brand is just so bad and the outreach to the community has been so bad that African-Americans would rather stay with the devil than they know than the devil that they don't know. Would you agree with that?
I would agree 1,000%. And I think that, you know, if ever the Republican Party were just to be, you know, just a little bit more inclusive, they would attract a great deal more.
30%?
Not only average.
30%?
Well, it looks like it's 30% now. That's what the polls are showing.
Keith, we started on impeachment, so we got to wrap here. I got one more impeachment question for you, just because I don't know the mindset of the Democratic voter as well. I'm going to ask you, is it possible that Jerry Nadler, Adam Schiff, the leadership of the Democratic House committees do recommend impeachment and they go forward with a vote, but then they just don't have the votes and we don't get an impeachment?
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think that they're going to recommend it, and I don't think that you're going to have an impeachment. I think that they're smart enough and wise enough to realize that this isn't the overwhelming feeling or ideology of most Americans. And I think what's going to happen is it's going to go down exactly like that. And I think that, again, I keep saying the only way we're going to get him out of office is that we vote him out on 2020. That's the only way I think he's going to leave, you know, is that he has to be voted out if it's going to happen.
Keith, real pleasure, my friend. Give the folks your socials.
All social platforms at Keith Antone.
Thank you, my friend, and have a great day.
Okay, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Keith.
That was Keith Antone, 97.1's favorite liberal. When we come back from the break, we're going to have Charles on, who was 97.1's second liberal, favorite liberal. And then we're going to hear what Paul wants to say. Give us a call at 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. This is the Annie Fry Show. Chris Arp sitting in. Oh, the immortal Al Green. You know, when I hear Al Green music, it takes me back to my childhood, early 70s, probably about 6 or 7 years old, and my mother's sister, brother would come in from Kansas City, and they'd be playing Al Green records, playing dominoes, and drinking. That's my memory of Al Green when I hear this music.
Is Al Green still alive?
He's still alive. He's a gospel singer now.
He truly is immortal, then.
He is immortal. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Chris Arp's sitting in for Annie. We're going to take some calls to close out the show. Charles has been waiting a while. Charles, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
And I want to mention that... I agree with some of the things that were said.
Wait a minute. Charles, say that again.
I know. You got me all wrong. I'm an independent.
I just like hearing it, Charles. Can you just say it just one more time? Say, I agree.
There's a number of things I agree with what was said. One is, a year is a lifetime in politics.
Yes.
Okay? And I agree with the guy that said that Biden is the odds-on favorite to be the nominee. And my reasoning is this, that he's the most moderate. Most people in the United States are moderate. He's the most moderate. Warren is too left. Bernie's too left.
What about Pete Buttigieg? He is trying to carve a lane in that middle road.
I was going to say that he might be in the mix because he's been doing very well. He's very smart for his age.
Can he win without getting 0% and 1% of the black vote, Charles, in the Democratic primary?
No, that's why I'm saying Biden. He's got 85% of the blacks, and the guy that was just on said that he talked to businessmen, black and white. Most of them voted for Trump, but that would be normal if I was in business under capitalism and wanting to make profits. Stop by a person waiting on the bus to get a black person ready to get on a bus and go to work. Ask them who they're for, and that's where the 85% of the black come from for Biden.
All right.
You know, the average black hasn't prospered under Trump.
How can you say that, Charles? How can you just make a blanket statement like that when you have unemployment?
You know why?
Charles, wait a minute. Charles, just let me talk for. I'll give you time. But you have You have black unemployment at 5.2%, an all-time low. How can you say the average black person hasn't done well under this administration or this economy?
I'm going to tell you why. Because workers have the worst wages in 60 years.
That's not true. In the last 10 years, Charles, let me speak. In the last 10 years, wages have over the last 2 years, actually, few years, wages have actually gone up, not down. And also, Charles, this is not what Stephen Moore and I talked about, where all of the gains for the economy are going to the top of the food chain. It's going towards the middle class, and blue-collar workers are making great gains. Charles,
I
appreciate your call, as always. We're going to get to Paul. Paul, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Chris.
Thank you.
Hey, I got a question. Is there a way that we the people can get our money back from all this circus and all the Democratic polling of trying to impeach Trump? I mean, they've gone after him for Russia. Now they're trying to do it this way. We want our money back. I mean, they're wasting our money up there in the Congress, and I think all they're doing is filling their pockets and just letting people be, because they don't want to do anything for the people, because Nancy's got stuff sitting on her desk she don't even want to sign, because it helps the people.
Paul, Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats say they're doing their constitutional duty.
That's not a constitutional duty. That's a hinting they're trying to do.
Yeah, it's nice for them, isn't it? They get to sit up there and get more famous every day being on TV, and they get to spend other people's money doing it.
Vote them out.
Yeah, and they should lead by example. Nancy should tear down her wall around her house if she doesn't want a wall around the United States.
Amen. Thank you for calling, Paul. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Steve, what say you?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call. No problem. Appreciate it. I got a question for you.
Sure.
I know Trump can't run for a third term. But what would happen if they flipped the ticket and Pence ran for president and Trump ran as vice president? I think Democrats' heads would explode across the country.
You know what? I'm not a constitutional expert, but I've got a couple of people shaking their heads.
It cannot happen.
It can't happen, huh?
No. There's an amendment. I want to say the 25th has it in it. I think it's the 25th off the top of my head, that says once you've been in office in a spot where you could have been president, mm-hmm. where you were president, you can't go into a spot where you could be president, because you get 8 years and that's it.
Although you could wait a term and then run again.
Yes, you can do that.
Well, he could wait after, say he doesn't want to run now and run again. Yes, you could do that.
Yeah.
But currently you cannot... You cannot go and be somebody's vice president because you've already been president for 8 years. You filled your 8 years.
So, Steve, are you feeling confident about the president's reelection?
Are you kidding? Heck yeah. And I'm married to a black woman, and her family is hardcore Democrat all the way, but there's a few of them that are kind of coming around a little bit. So
what is it?
I think there's more...
What would you say?
I think there's going to be more black people vote.
What is it that you're seeing personally that that's making them favorable to the president? What are they saying?
Well, just like your last caller, black unemployment. It's like Trump said, take a chance. What do you got to lose? And the Democrats haven't done nothing for decades for them. And it's always been the Republicans dating back from the Civil War that's done everything for the black people. Freedom from slavery. Voting, the list goes on and on. Democrats have done just the opposite.
Steve, appreciate your call.
Thank you, sir.
As a guy who's in the industry,
I was
going to
say as a black person, no. I think I'm qualified for that, I think.
Well, okay, fine, let's do it that. At what percent does the black vote go up or go toward Trump? At what percent does it really turn the tides in swing states? Like, if he had 12% in 2016 and it gets to...
20%.
Say, if it gets to 20%?
If any Republican ever gets 20% of the vote, they will win. The Democrats will have a hard-pressed time winning that election. And it's possible. Governor Huckabee, I think his last election for governor was like the late 90s in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
He received 30% of the black vote.
Okay.
I mean, you don't hear a lot about that because they don't want you to know that. And part of it is just being visible. Black people are very forgiving people. They're just like any other voting demographic. They want to know that you care about their interests and that you care enough to come out and talk to them and speak to them and ask for their vote. And that's where the Republican Party kind of just drops the ball over and over and over, because money is the mother's milk of politics. And I understand from a campaign perspective is you don't want to spend limited resources trying to get a vote that you probably have no chance. And then at the end of the election, you've lost by half a percentage point. And you're like, if we'd have just spent that money on something else besides the black vote, I get that. And that's why I always feel if you're going to do black outreach, just don't do it during election year. It has to be in between throughout the cycles as well.
Now, you've been a part of several different swing state voting initiatives, so I think you can probably speak to this better than most people I would know. Is there the vote we're seeing nationally, the number we're seeing nationally, that 30 to 35% approval rating for black voters for Trump, is that about what it is in swing states too, or is it higher, lower?
You know, that's difficult to tell because the swing states are the blue-collar industrial states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. I, you know, I'd have to see the numbers, but I would be hard-pressed to think that the numbers are that high in those states because they're so blue-collar and they're so democratically controlled. But, you know, the economy is doing so well, and a lot there are a lot of blue-collar industrial jobs there. Maybe that is translating down to those workers and having them support the president.
I'm amazed that you even say Ohio, because everything I see says that's not even a swing state anymore. The Democrats have pulled money out of Ohio and Florida. I mean, I'm amazed that Ohio, within maybe one election cycle, may not even be a contender.
That would be very foolish for them because they need Ohio. Democrats have to win back the four states that they lost to Trump that they traditionally win, which is Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. So if they are pulling out of those states, Ohio, I don't know what other states that they think they could pick up to get those votes. And I just think that's a natural constituency for them. It would be very silly. But remember, Hillary Clinton didn't campaign in Wisconsin and Michigan and all those states because she thought she had it wrapped up. So I don't know. Hey, let's get to Adam. We got a couple of minutes left. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. How about you?
His voice sounds familiar. How are you, sir?
I am doing well.
Aren't you supposed to be working or something? Are you calling in?
No, I've got to pick up my girls from school, sending them to private school, and it's pickup time.
All right, Frank's telling me to tell you hurry up.
All right, so in reference to why Trump cannot run as vice president.
Okay. I should have known you'd know.
Of course. The 22nd Amendment obviously puts the limit of two terms on the president. You have to go back to the 12th Amendment, where it says that no person who is constitutionally ineligible to the office of president shall be eligible to run for vice president.
There you go.
And I had that correction up here to slip in as well. It was the combination of the 12th and the 22nd. It was not the 25th. Thank you, Adam.
Adam, that's almost impressive.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for that information. I appreciate it.
Here's the thing about Chris Arps. With working with Chris Arps, he will not let you know if you've done a good job, but he will kind of give you a smile if he thinks you're doing okay.
Yeah, I can't, you know.
So, Adam, apparently you did a good job because you made him, he gave you a wink.
It's a wink and a nudge.
And I've known Adam a long time. I don't want to give his name out, but he's a good friend of the show. He's a political out in St. Charles County. He's actually running for state rep.
I didn't get
his name out too much.
I hope that being married to Chris, Becky, that he gives you more than just a wink as he walks by every now and then. Like he gives everybody professionally.
More of a wink and a nod.
Okay.
And a wink and nod and an okay sign.
Yeah.
Well, guys, guess what?
What?
It's over.
Congratulations,
it's
buddy.
It's over. Al, you waited too late. Sorry about that. Al called in. But I just want to thank Annie Fry for allowing me to sit in today. I want to thank Katie, the executive producer, for allowing me to sit in. I want to thank Frank Ladd for carrying me, Ryan for carrying me, and as always, my lovely wife who gives me that look and keeps me on the straight and narrow. It's been a good time. I love doing this. Next up is the Dave Glover Show. You've been listening to the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Have a great day, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.